As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the third episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford, and today we have an interview with Jack Kilborn, author of the new horror thriller, Afraid. Today on the Reading and Writing Podcast, we're joined by Joe Conrath. As J.A. Conrath, Joe writes the Jack Daniels Mysteries. This mystery series featuring Lieutenant Jacqueline Jack Daniels of the Chicago Police Department has included the novels Dirty Martini, Rusty Nail, Bloody Mary, Whiskey Sour, and Fuzzy Navel. However, tonight Joe is here to talk about his new novel, Afraid, a horror thriller. Afraid, published under the pen name Jack Kilborn, will be published by Grand Central Publishing and will be available at your local bookstore on the last day of the month, March 31st. Joe, welcome to the Reading and Writing Podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Sure. We're here to discuss Afraid, your new horror thriller, but let's touch briefly on your Jack Daniels mystery series. Two quick questions. First, when will the next book in the series be published, and what's your favorite drink of choice?
Well, the next book will come out supposedly July 7th. And I say supposedly because it's a loose date as opposed to a hard drop date, which means that you'll probably be seeing it in the stores maybe a week or two before then.
Gotcha. And what is the title? Did you say that?
Cherry Bomb is the sixth book in the series. And Cherry Bomb, incidentally, is a mixture of vodka, white cream de coco, and grenadine with a maraschino cherry in it. It's a shooter, or you can do it on the rock. And it's a pretty easy drink to get down, but they collect. They pile up. There's a cumulative effect of cherry bombs. My personal drink of choice, if we're talking hard spirits, I'm going to have to go with a really good, probably single barrel batch bourbon. Something like Blanton's is just wonderful to drink. Single malt scotches would be a close second.
Gotcha.
But if I'm just going to sit with something, it would be that.
And what about beer?
Oh, beer I love. I love beer in its many different forms and many different varieties. I'm a huge beer snob. I used to actually work for a brewmaster, so I know more about beer than any human being should rightfully know. And because of that, I'm just in love with just about every single form of beer. And of course, you know, they're divided into two main groups, ales and lagers. In fact, rather than tell you about my favorite beer, which we'd have to go category by category, I will tell you a beer style that I don't like, and that's called a Rausch beer. And a Rausch beer is a German style ale, and it's smoked. So if you've ever smoked sausage, smoked salmon, and it's got that kind of wood chip charcoal flavor to it, that's what drinking this beer is like. You're expecting something like Sam Adams, something smooth, maybe a little bitter, and instead you get a big mouthful of smoked salmon. It's not a beer that I enjoy.
Sounds interesting. But with all of your knowledge of beer, it sounds like you've got a basis for another series at some point.
Well, I'll drink a Rausch beer if someone buys it for me. I mean, I won't avoid it
if
it's free, but it is my least favorite beer.
Great. Well,
I'll drink a Budweiser if someone buys it for me.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'd drink paint thinner, actually, if someone would actually, you know, plunk down the $4 for a glass. One of the problems with writing a series that has drinks in the titles is when I'm at a conference, when I'm doing a signing, invariably people buy me my book titles. They buy me a Whiskey Sour. They buy me a Bloody Mary. And I said, that's a problem. That's a problem everybody should have. But after this happening many times, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should have written a book called, you know, Lobster Thermidor or Filet Mignon and really capitalized on people's willingness to buy me things.
Yeah, that you've got an idea there. So let's discuss Afraid. The question I have is, why publish Afraid under a pen name? I've read several interviews with Dean Koontz, and he said that he believes writing novels under various pen names actually delayed his career as a best-selling writer. And I know you're a writer who has studied the business of publishing and marketing, and I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding pseudonyms and pen names.
Well, there are two reasons for a pen name for Afraid. I'm going under Jack Kilborn instead of J.A. Conrath. And the first is it's an entirely different brand. It's an entirely different demographic. My Jack Daniels books have some scary parts in them, but those parts are balanced with some levity. Jack Kilborn, there's no levity. This book, and I'm saying these books because I just finished the second Jack Kilborn book. It's called Trapped. They're scare machines. They are meant to scare the absolute hell out of you. And a lot of fans of mine, J.A. Conrath fans, might accidentally pick this up and then have a heart attack, and then the relatives will sue me because they didn't know beforehand. And while that would be great publicity, I'm not made out of money. You know, if I were, I'd cut off a foot and buy a car with it. But that would be number one, two different demographics. Number two is it's a numbers game. Publishing is very much about how well your last book did. And the Jack Daniels books are doing well. Out, all the books are in print, multiple printings. I've earned out my advance, and I had a decent advance. They're doing well, but they're not bestsellers yet. Well, chain bookstores such as Borders or Barnes & Noble or Books A Million are going to look at my past sales, and that's going to determine how many of the new book they pre-order. And, you know, that's all well and good, except my publisher for Afraid really wants to break this out, really wants to cause a big splash with that. They really want a lot of pre-orders. Well, the bookstores aren't going to order in huge, gigantic numbers like my new publisher wants because they see what my sales history is, slow and steady. So they would order Afraid slow and steady if it were under the name J.A. Conrath. So those are the two main reasons.
Gotcha. You just mentioned a description of Afraid. I may have the exact description wrong, but definitely more intense than your Jack Daniels mysteries. I wondered if you could give kind of a quick thumbnail sketch of the plot and of Afraid.
Without spoiling anything for the listeners out there, Afraid is about a small Midwestern town, a town called Safe Haven. I just love calling a town Safe Haven when you know you're going to wipe the town out. But Safe Haven is in Wisconsin. And it's a little town so small it doesn't even have a full-time sheriff. Well, something comes to Safe Haven on one dark night. And this something's sole purpose is to isolate, to terrorize, and to annihilate. and it comes to safe haven supposedly by accident, and it does what it is supposed to do, and systematically starts wiping out this town. So it all takes place in the scope of about 10 hours. Got a cast of about 15 heroes and villains that you get to know throughout the course of the story, plus many other secondary characters. And we follow all of these people through this one extremely terrible and frightening night.
Great. Sounds like a lot of fun. What are you afraid of? Do you write from your own fears?
Absolutely. There's a wonderful quote, and I want to say it was Fitzgerald who did it, but I'm probably wrong here. It may have been Eliot. Can't remember. The quote is, "If there are no tears in the writer, there will be no tears in the reader." And I'm paraphrasing there.
Sure.
Now, try to really stretch the limits of what scares me. We all have, private fears. But there are also big fears that you can almost consider universal. Fear of being chased. Fear of being hurt. Fear of being at some... fear of the dark, when something is in the dark. Fear of drowning. Fear of fire. Fear of losing a loved one or being separated from your children. These are all pretty serious fears that have some universality about them. So afraid is a collection of pretty much every fear that I could come up with, amplified to the nth degree to crank up the tension and scare the pants off the reader.
Great. In the acknowledgments for Afraid, you mentioned three horror writers, Stephen King, Dean Koontz, and David Morrell. Besides those three writers that I just named, what horror thriller writers do you enjoy reading?
Wow, the list is ridiculous because I just love this genre so much. A good friend of mine, his name is Jeff Strand, and his new book, Pressure, is coming out this summer, and that is just a kick in your teeth. That is just no-holds-barred horror you just mentioned.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Jack Ketchum is great. Ed Lee is great. They're both on the extreme side of the horror spectrum, but they both have some real gravitas. They have some real chops when it comes to scaring the reader. Graham Masterton, a British writer, is probably my favorite horror writer. He's written something like 40 books now in the past 35 years. He started with The Manitou, which was a mediocre film made with Tony Curtis back in the late 70s, but the book is fabulous, and all of his books are fabulous. The scariest opening of all time comes from a Masterton book called Master of Lies. That first chapter, your jaw will be on the ground by the time you finish reading that chapter. It is absolutely amazing. Other Brits I like Sean Hudson. I love early James Herbert. Terrific atmosphere in the Herbert books. And, of course, Richard Layman. The late Richard Layman was a giant field.
I actually have a lot of Masterson books on my bookshelf and Layman as well, in addition to a lot of the others that you mentioned. I wonder, what was the original spark for your interest in writing fiction? Did you get interested in writing at a young age?
I got interested in writing because I love to read. My own personal library has about 5,000 books in it, which means I can never leave my house and move to another house, because that would mean realphabetizing everything. And I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to die in this house because I refuse to put all my books in order again. But from a really early age, I loved to read. I loved going places in my head. And at around 9 or 10 years old, I started writing my little stories, as many writers do, start young. And I found that when I was writing, people were listening, and I could affect people with my words. I could make them laugh. I could make them cringe. I could make them, in some cases, if I did a good enough job, I could make them cry and feel something. And that became a calling to me. That became something that I wanted to pursue for the rest of my life. And I'm the luckiest guy on the planet. I get to do this for a living. I get to scare people and make them laugh, and it gets me paid, which is fabulous.
Great. And I know from reading interviews with you and from reading your website that, despite your passion for writing and your love of reading, that it wasn't a necessarily straight shot for you to getting published. And I wondered if you could talk about that, just briefly in terms
sure,
of
your
quest for publication.
Oh, my. It was a very long quest, and that quest is still ongoing. You still quest for publication. I've had some success, but that success doesn't mean I can rest on my laurels now. I have to keep raising the bar. I have to keep writing well. I have to keep marketing and self-promoting. I have to keep making people aware of my books. But it started back in 92 when I graduated from college and couldn't get a job in my studied profession, which was television. I'm from Chicago, a big TV town, especially in 92, and could not get a job to save my life. Recession back then, not quite as bad as it is now, but it was pretty bad back then.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back for more of our interview right after this.
The Kindle Chronicles is a Friday audio podcast all about the Amazon Kindle e-reader. I'm Len Edgerly, and each week I present Kindle news, tech tips, an interview, a quote, and listener comments. I've been a writer all my life, and I'm doing this podcast because the Kindle has simply renewed my love of reading. I hope you'll stop by for a listen. You can find me at thekindlechronicles.com or by searching for Kindle in the podcast area of the iTunes Store.
I remember it well. I graduated from college in 91 and got laid off from my first job after four months.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I can relate.
Yeah. There you go. How long did it take you to find another one?
A while.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I could not get a job. So I did a lot of creative writing in college. I'd done a lot of creative writing my whole life. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just, I'll write a novel, get an agent, and make $1 million. Still haven't made that million yet, and it took 12 years, about 1 million words, 9 books that were not published before I made a dime. So there's a definite learning curve to this business. A passion for writing counts, but I think persistence and to market and learning as much about the industry as you can is also extremely helpful, and it certainly did help me when I finally caught on after 12 years of banging my head against the wall.
What kept you going for those 12 years?
Liquor. Liquor, legal drugs are wonderful for writers because, and this is a little known fact, you can write off certain hallucinogens on your taxes as work office supply.
Great, I'll have to keep that in mind.
Absolutely, because they're helping you. You know, they're expanding your mind. So it was a tough decade. It really was. You know, every time the postman would come, I would have to pop a couple of Prozac because I'd gotten 500 rejections during the 12 years. And, you know, every time I saw the mailman, he was bringing another batch of rejections. And, you know, that's just the worst feeling in the world, you know, sending something you spent a year writing out there and, you know, getting the form letters back saying, sorry, we're not interested.
Sure. You've spent a lot of time on your website and your blog giving advice to aspiring writers. In fact, you have a free downloadable ebook on your site that lists 750 tips for aspiring writers. Well, tonight we don't have time for 750 tips, so I'm wondering if you have two or three ironclad rules or advice for aspiring writers that you would give.
It's 750 pages.
750 pages.
Worth tips. Yeah, that's that little ebook download is, I think, almost 300,000 words. So yeah, there's quite a bit on there. Everything that I've tried in this business and a lot of things that I failed at, I share with people because, you know, hey, maybe you won't make the same mistakes I did and maybe you'll get published a lot faster than the 12 years it took me. The quote that I usually go by is, there is a word for a writer who never gives up, and that word is published. You have to be persistent. You know, this business works on luck. You know, you can take all the writing classes you in the world and read all the books and practice, and write novel after novel after novel. But the fact is, you're not going to get published unless you get the right book in front of the right editor at the right time. And that's lightning striking. And that means you have to keep at it. You know, it's very tough to get struck by lightning. The odds are astronomical, but the odds are about even with writing a successful book. In fact, you probably have a better chance of getting struck by lightning than you do selling a book to a big house for a big advance, big publishing house. But there are things you can do to improve your chances at getting struck by lightning. Go out in thunderstorms, waving a big iron bar, climb to the top of trees, and you're still going to get lucky if you get struck, but you can improve your chances. And knowing the business and persisting definitely do improve your chances.
Great. Finally, you had mentioned earlier, I had a question here. I was going to ask you if there are any future Jack Kilbourne novels currently planned or slated for future publication, and you mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, the name of it was Trapped. I wonder if you have a date for publication for that, or a contract, or do you see, you know?
Sure. It is under contract. The pub date, it's probably going to come out in Great Britain at the end of this year in hardcover. And then I'm guessing, and this may change, publishing is a volatile business, but I am guessing that it will probably be published around this time next year in America. So it's a fun book. It's a mean book, and Afraid is a mean, tough book. It's not gratuitous. It's not overly disgusting or graphic. But it's a violent book, and it's a horror book, and the book is called Afraid for a Reason. So that's a word of warning to your listeners.
And do you have ideas for future Kilbourne novels beyond Trapped?
No, I'm completely out of ideas now. Normally for ideas, what I do is I go through James Patterson's garbage. And that's great because, you know, with Patterson, when he throws out 10 pages, that's about 15, 20 chapters right there.
So you must be staying busy going through the garbage.
Absolutely. He also throws out a lot of good hoagies. Big hoagie fan.
Well, great. Well, thanks for joining us for a conversation with Joe Conrath, a.k.a. Jack Kilbourne, author of the new horror thriller Afraid, which will be on sale at local bookstores March 31st. For more info, you can check out his website at jaconrath.com. That's jaconrath.com. And thanks for joining us, Joe.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Reading and Writing Podcast. If you liked what you heard, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes, leave a review on iTunes, or send us an email at readingandwritingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks, and we will be back soon with another interview with a writer that you enjoy reading.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.